Blessing it is to be here. You're looking out, see a lot of folks who have come here this morning, and you're freezing to death, I understand, some of you. I got a threat before services this morning. I better turn the heat on. I didn't know brethren would be so threatening. Or else is what I was told. Well, it's a little warmer in here. It may not be yet as warm as you would like. I thought earlier this week about turning the heat on, and I forgot. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. It was only 63 degrees in here. So I can understand how that feels good to me, though. See, that's why I forget, because it's very comfortable to me. It feels great. So hope that you're better anyway. So it's good to be here. Thank you for being with us this morning. And I'd like to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at about verse 11. And actually, not verse 11. We're going to be looking at verse 6 beginning. Don't gamble with your soul. Don't gamble with your soul. I'll get back to that here in just a moment. Let's begin by reading our text. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some love, or which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Well, that's a short reading that talks about the dangers of the love of money, the dangers of greed and covetousness. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear that, number one, as a child of God, we ought to be content with what we have. And he says that in actuality, that contentment is the source of great gain. He's not talking about financial security. He's talking about spiritual security. He's talking about placing our faith and our trust in God. He makes the point that we have brought nothing into this world. We all came in naked. Job made that same point. He came into the world naked, and naked he would leave. Same is true for everyone. Even though, yes, I know that they do put clothes on you after you die and put you in the casket. But you, I mean, okay, that aside, you don't take those with you when you go. You'll never use that. That's not going to be anything you're concerned about. Not a bit. But those who desire to be rich, he says, fall into temptation. Those who desire to be rich. You can be led astray into many foolish and harmful lusts. Foolish and harmful. Sometimes we do need to recognize the difference between sin and wisdom. Okay, I do think there's a difference. Difference between something actually being sin. You do that, that is sinful. And sometimes we'll say, well, that's not wise to do that. And it may not be actually sinful, but it can certainly set you on that path to sin. Wisdom is kind of like that fence that God has put out around the whole of sin. God puts that fence around it and says, stay away. But if you want to be a fool, cross over in the fence and flirt with the temptation, what's eventually going to happen? You're going to get burned. So, okay, we'll make that distinction. But foolish and harmful lust, and you yield to these things, and it becomes sinful for you. And it will destroy you. It will drown you in foolish, destructive perdition. So the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You know, here in a couple of weeks, there's going to be a measure on the ballot to approve casinos. Now, my purpose is not to not to launch a campaign against this particular amendment. That's not the point of the lesson. The point of the lesson is against that which, of course, this amendment is dealing with. To legalize casinos in the state of Arkansas. The group behind the measure, driving Arkansas forward, turned in more than 138,000 signatures. The proposal would allow casino gambling at Oaklawn, a Hot Springs horse track, which they already have gambling there, and Southland, over in West Memphis, a Greyhound track. The tracks currently offer video poker and other forms of electronic gaming. The proposal would also allow casinos in Pope and Jefferson counties. So I suppose just right here south of us in Jefferson County would be the closest, and they're in Pine Bluff, around Pine Bluff. A struggling community, right? It has been for years. Ever since the paper mill, one of the paper mills closed down, the Cotton Belt Railroad moved out. I remember those days, and I remember all the jobs being lost and all the people leaving. I remember when I was a child riding my bicycle, I would ride past the city limit population sign. And I remember it used to say 64,000 plus people. It's down to what? In the low 50s now, maybe high 40s or less. And that was, you know, they have expanded the border, the city limits to take in more people, but they're losing population. Job loss and everything is bad. I understand all that. And I'm all for revitalizing the community. They've tried various things, but now this is the next thing that they're trying to provide. Is that a good idea? I'll tell you right now, no, it's not. Gambling, casinos is not a good idea for the community of Pine Bluff. It's not good at all. But I want to share some things with you. The U.S. gaming, casino gaming market revenue from 2004 to 2017 in billions of dollars has increased, 26 billion dollars, over $26 billion in that time span. In 2017, $76.59 billion was made by casinos. They're making a lot of money. Americans lost $116.9 billion gambling in 2016, according to a report. And according to an article of CNN, this is, by the way, CNN contributor writer, David Frum wrote, and this was back in 2013, so it's been a few years. He said, until the late 1980s, casino gambling was illegal almost everywhere in the country. Today, casinos are all allowed in 23 states. Now, that's increased since then. The industry as a whole targets precisely those who can least afford to lose. The impact of casinos on local property values is unambiguously negative, according to the National Association of Realtors. Casinos do not revive local economies. They act as parasites upon them. Communities located within 10 miles of a casino exhibit double the rate of problem gambling. Unsurprisingly, such communities also suffer higher rates of home foreclosure and other forms of economic distress and domestic violence. Is this really okay? Are Americans content to allow the growth of an industry that consciously exploits the predictable weakness of the most vulnerable people? 27 states still say no. If yours is one such state, fight to keep it that way. Again, this is not a member of the Church of Christ. This is not some evangelical preacher even. This is a CNN contributor. And this is what he sees. This is what the evidence suggests. Casinos. Think about the harm that is done by casinos in the communities when they move in. Bankruptcy rates average approximately 18% higher in casino communities. Local businesses, especially restaurants, will show a significant decrease in sales. These casinos are drawing that money. That'll also affect the hotel markets negatively, except for the ones that are built by the casinos. Gambling addictions will increase by approximately 10% within a 50-mile radius of casinos. Social cost of gambling consume at least $3 for every $1 generated by a casino. So the casino makes a dollar off the people in the community and people who may even travel in. It makes a dollar, and it costs the society $3 to replace the damage that's done. That is not economic prosperity by any means for a community. Casino gambling is not the answer to economic problems, is the idea. The harm gambling does, just gambling in general, addiction is one of the main problems. Plus you have poverty, crime, dishonesty, family strife, divorce, escape into alcoholism, exploitation of the poor. Who is it that really suffers the most from gambling? You know, a few years ago, the state of Arkansas passed the lottery. Now we have the lottery in the state of Arkansas. I've made the point before in conversation, I think even from the pulpit, but in conversation I've told you, if you've asked me about it, I believe that it's a retrogressive tax. It's a retrogressive tax in that it taxes the most vulnerable and the poorest people. You go down here to the gas station after services and you'll stand in line behind some people trying to buy lottery tickets, especially now. I don't know if anybody won the big jackpot this past week. I don't know if anybody won it or not, but there are people standing in line buying tickets. Can they afford those tickets? Most of them can't. What are the driving forces of gambling? Materialism, greed, covetousness, discontentment, not satisfied with what we have, exploitation, of trying to take advantage of other people, laziness instead of working, quick get rich quick schemes, thwarting of charity because you're satisfying or striving to satisfy your selfishness, seeking to gain from the loss of others. That's what gambling really is. Gambling is consensual theft. Now I know that they may agree that, okay, this is my money, I'm laying it down, I'm willing to lose it, and you lay your money down too, you're willing to lose it so that you may gain his. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get each other's money, but you're consenting. Okay, that you say, well, it's consensual. Let's say that your neighbor and you consented. Okay, you both had really good insurance policies, so you consent that you're going to, you know, we're going to flip a coin, and whoever loses, I'm going to burn your house down, and, you know, you'll get the money from it. We'll just flip. That's consensual. You agree to it. Doesn't make it right. Just because people consent to things that are immoral doesn't make it right. So, what is gambling? I want to be careful and define what I mean by gambling. To play a game, according to Merriam-Webster, to play a game for money or property. Okay? So your property, your money is at stake and rests upon the outcome of a game of chance. American Heritage Dictionary, to bet on an uncertain outcome as of a contest, to play a game of chance for stakes, to take a risk in the hope of gaining an advantage or a benefit. World Book Encyclopedia, gamblers usually bet money or something else of value as a stake on the outcome they predict. When the outcome is settled, the winner collects the loser's stakes. I like that definition because that's really what we're talking about. There are three things that make up something that we would refer to as gambling in the negative sense. What is wrong with gambling? Well, the type of gambling that I'm talking about has these three elements. Number one, the uncertain event. It's an uncertain event. It's arbitrarily determined. Okay? The stake, there's something that's going to be lost in this exchange by one party. Somebody's going to lose. You put money into a pot. If there are 10 people that put money into the pot and there's only one winner, then that means 9 people lose. There are 9 losers. And all of this is determined by chance. A winner and loser. One loses a possession wagered while the winner takes it from him. These are things that are involved in this concept of gambling that we're talking about this morning. These are, just to clarify, these are things I'm not talking about. The casting of lots in the Bible is something that's mentioned quite often. They did exactly what we would do today, maybe by drawing of straws or flipping a coin to decide, you know, fairly who's going to do what. We make a decision, okay? Who's going to go first? We'll flip a coin in a football game. Sometimes in baseball, you know, in tournament play, we'll flip a coin to see who goes first, who bats first, who's the visiting team, who's the home team. Flip a coin. Make a decision. But that's not gambling. You're not putting something at stake and losing at the or gaining at the other person's loss of their material possessions. That's not what's happening. Taking a risk. People say, well, I gamble every day. Every time I walk out of my door, I take a gamble. Well, that's not gambling as we're talking about it this morning. It is risky to get out of your house. It is risky to cross the street. It's risky to drive down the interstate. It is very risky. The farmer is not seeking to gain from another person's loss when he buys seed to plant his field. That's a gamble in the sense that it's a risk, yes, but it's not gambling as we're talking about it. The farmer is not depending upon someone else's loss for him to gain and benefit from it. There's a difference. Buying and selling stock, that's an investment. And by the way, in order for you to gain in buying stock, what has to happen? The company that you are buying into, they have to succeed. So you are benefiting off of other people's success. You're not benefiting off of other people's losses. That's a big difference. So it's an investment. It's kind of like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 about the fellow who's taken his money to the bank and he's increased that by gaining interest. Okay, he's increasing his income. He's investing it. Buying insurance. Some people will say buying insurance is like gambling. No. It is true that, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You have homeowner's insurance. You have automobile insurance. You have health insurance. You have life insurance. You have these insurance policies to protect you and your family in case something unpredictable happens. It's for nobody's losing at your game. It's something that we are willingly engaging in to help protect ourselves and to protect our families. We're purchasing it. It's a product. Prizes. When one registers to win a prize that is given away for advertisement, you may go to the state fair and you may sign a little slip of paper maybe to win a car. Okay? Now, if you're buying a raffle ticket and paying money for that, that's a different story. But if it's free, you know, there's no loss engaged in that. Okay, that's registering to win a prize. That's different. Or competition for a prize even. It's not a wagered possession, but won by skill and fair competition, kind of like golf tournaments. You pay, or fishing tournaments. You pay to enter the tournament and you go out and you fish. You pay to engage in that sport. And that's a little different than throwing your money down on the table and risking it to be lost and hoping to win a bunch more. There's a difference. So hopefully we can see those differences. The different forms of gambling, whether it be casinos or betting on horses or dogs or sporting events, lotteries, bingo, raffles, bazaar and fair booths. Many times those are church-sponsored events, right? That's the way that they make money or raise money. Amateur gambling, such as poker games for money, betting on the outcome of athletic events and office pools and those kinds of things. I remember the grocery store that was close to our house in Pine Bluff, Village Grocery. Leon Smith would always have a board up on his wall, and people who came into the store, they would, I don't remember what it was, I never engaged in it, but you would place money on certain football games, and he did that right out of the store. Office pools, whoever got the closest, whoever chose right and got the closest score would win the pot. I remember when I was young at the deer camp. Back when there were really deer camps and everybody came in, we would have 20 people there on opening morning of deer season. 20 men, and they would all sit around and they would put their money in a pot to whoever would kill the first deer and then whoever would kill the biggest deer for the whole deer season. Okay, that's gambling. It's amateur gambling, but it's still gambling. And we may think, well, that's no big deal, but, you know, there is a principle that we need to uphold. If we're professing Christians, we need to uphold the principle. And size does not really negate the principle. Gambling is sinful. Why in the world would I say that gambling is sinful? You may say, well, it's just entertainment for me. I just do it to be entertained. And I know that people who make that argument, they think that's a good argument, that they're not doing it because of covetousness. The motive for gambling is greed. It is covetousness. That's what makes it successful, right? What if, think about this, what if the state lottery did not promise any winnings? Though instead the lottery was just okay. You come in, you buy your ticket, or you buy your game, okay? You scratch off your ticket and see if you win. But you're not going to get anything. Understand that. There's no money coming back to you. How much money would the state lottery make? Nobody would engage in that. Why not? The motor behind gambling is greed. How entertaining would it be if you went into a casino and you knew you could not win any money? You could put quarter after quarter in a slot machine, but you knew that you would never win. You're just sitting there watching, you like watching those things go around. That's your entertainment. You're not going to go in there and sit before that slot machine doing that, knowing that you're not going to get anything. Greed is the motor behind it. So let's be honest. The eager desire for base gain, that's what greed is. Covetousness. It's a desire, a greedy desire to have more. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and in Colossians 3, it is idolatry. What he calls it. If winnings were removed, would casinos and lotteries still prosper? Of course not. We know the answer to that. Look, I don't have a problem with donating to charitable causes that are good causes. That's what we ought to be doing. And good people will. But see, here's the deal. The state and businesses know that if they are depending upon charitable gifts to support whatever it is, whether it's education, that's the supposed reason that we have the lottery, to support education. Some say to also roads and those kinds of things, but mainly education. If it is a good thing, you ought to be able to get people to give to it. But they know that people aren't going to give to it, so what do they feed off of? What is the driving impetus behind the lottery? It is dependent upon the greed of the people that are going to play. The more greedy people are, the more money is going to be coming in. That's the truth. So you are exploiting the sinful or the base desires of people to make money off of them. When you talk about alcohol or tobacco, it's called a sin tax. That's really what gambling is too. It's a sin tax. Violates the principle of stewardship. We are to glorify God in our possessions. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Let he who ministers minister to glorify God. That's our calling. That's our purpose. And what we have, the gifts that we have, material possessions that we have, are to be used to glorify God. To let his light shine in our life. To do good, to support the weak. All that's true, but And certainly someone would say, well, you know, we all have some money that, you know, we throw away. We all waste money on things. You know, some people might have went to the base of the football game yesterday in Fayetteville. And people say, well, you know, that's a waste. No, that is entertainment, by the way. Except when we lose, then you feel like you wasted your money. I understand that. You might feel that way. But there's still a difference. There's a product that you're paying to go and see. You're not expecting to get a bunch. They do not depend upon greed to drive their finances. And there's nothing wrong with entertainment, although we do need to be careful about those things and spend wisely. I understand that too. And use those things to glorify God and take it as an opportunity to glorify God if we can. And all we do should be for that purpose. We should be faithful with what we have. You know, a good steward is faithful. And Jesus even said, he who is faithful in least will also be faithful in much. We say, well, it's just a little bit. Well, be faithful with that little bit. If you're faithful with that little bit, you'll also be faithful in much. Good stewards are to give and not take. Acts 20 verse 35, more blessed it is to give than to receive. That's what Jesus said. We're to be givers, not takers. And good stewards will be blessed. Why? Because we're faithful in using the things that God gives us. But another reason why I would say to you gambling is sinful is because it violates the golden rule. You have covetousness and this one. These are the two biggies. For one to win at gambling, others must lose. Gambling is predicated on the losses, the pain, and the suffering of others. It preys on the desperation of the poor. I want you to think about this. Let's say that you went over into West Mississippi. You crossed over from West Helena, went into Mississippi, and the casino's there. Or maybe you go through Lake Village and you cross over and there's a casino there when you cross over the bridge. Okay, you go in there and you win. Okay, where did all that money come from? A lot of that money, most of that money, in fact, statistics tell us, that most of that money come from people who cannot afford to gamble. You are taking from the mouths of children. You're taking clothes off their backs. Does that make you feel good? You're taking food off the table. You say, well, they took the food off the table when they threw it in the pot. Well, but that's the money that you're taking. Does that make you feel good to know where that money came from? A Christian is not to take advantage of another person. In fact, the Lord talked about those in Matthew chapter 23, those scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. One of the things he talked about was that they would devour widows' houses. They took advantage of other people. Those who were less, as far as ability to take care of themselves, they are less able to take care of themselves. And they would take advantage of them. There's something wrong with that. According to the Scripture, it's sin. It violates the means of honest gain. We're to work. We're to work for what we get. We're to work hard so that we can give to others, Ephesians 4 tells us. Fair exchange, Ephesians 4:28. We not only, of course, do we work to gain, we also then give so that we can help those who are in need. We invest so that we can also provide for ourselves down the road and take care of others. By gift, there's nothing wrong with receiving gifts from those who care about us and who love us and want to help us. Those are the means of honest gain. Gambling is the attempt to obtain the resources of others by taking advantage of their misfortune. You take advantage of their losing. And that's your gain. It sets a bad example. It destroys our reputation. It can lead others into sin. They think that this is okay. And you say, well, look, I am a responsible gambler. You know what that means? That means that you can set your limits and you just gamble a little bit. You gamble with some discretionary funds that you have, a little extra laying around the house. So that's what you use. And you stop when you run out, when you reach your budget. That's it. And you walk away. You say, that I'm a respectable gambler. Well, you know what? You may encourage somebody else to gamble too. You may even encourage them by taking them, and they become an addict. And they lose their house. They lose their family. They become alcoholics because of the stress and all the problems that come around. They lose their job. You really helped that fella out, haven't you? You lead others into sin. Destroys one's influence. Can you imagine Jesus sitting at a roulette table? Can you imagine Jesus sitting there, putting quarters in a slot machine, spinning those little fruits around and around and around and around? Can you imagine Jesus doing that? We need to think about our influence. And I had a picture there of that child. We need to think about the influence on our children and what we're teaching them, the principles that we're establishing. Another reason why I believe gambling is sinful is because its effects destroy families. Now, Jesus made the point that you shall know them by their fruits. My friends, listen, we can know a particular thing. Somebody said, well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not gamble. I know that. It does say that covetousness is sinful. It does say that greed is sin. We read that from 1 Peter chapter 6 a few moments, or 1 Timothy chapter 6 a few moments ago. But families, and think about the material deprivation financially that comes to a home where you have one or both parents who are gambling, the domestic violence because of the stress and the pressures of the material deprivation, child abuse and neglect. How many casinos have had or found children dead in their cars parked out in the parking lot? Left at home to fend for themselves while their parents are at the casino. Divorce. Gambling destroys families. It's been the root cause of many divorces. In counties where, Harrison County, where in Mississippi, where they brought in casinos, divorce rates a couple of years later skyrocketed. 320-something% increase in divorce. It has an effect. And a bad one. Ronald A. Reno, Gambling's Impact on Families, wrote, "It is family members who bear the brunt of the pain and misery that accompanies this addiction. In addition to material deprivations, family members frequently experience the trauma of divorce, child abuse, and neglect and domestic violence." They advertise casinos as economic revival. Local government supports and helps these casinos, and it will help, they will pave roads, and it'll be better for us economically. When you're destroying families, you need to take it off. If it's something that destroys families, it's not good. I don't care how much money it makes you. How foolish it is to depend on something, a vice that destroys other people's lives for your gain. And don't forget that gambling establishments are host to other corrupt vices, right? Prostitution rings, drunkenness, credit card fraud, embezzlement, tax evasion, drugs, alcohol, organized crime. All these things are associated with gambling casinos in Las Vegas and other places, Atlantic City. They move in. Why? What's the association here? Christians are to avoid such environments. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Supports an immoral, predatory, and exploitative industry. Takes advantage of the poor. It associates with the works of the flesh. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Lust of the flesh, which Paul said, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The greed, the selfishness, the murder, all the hatred, the adultery, all the things that are involved in worldliness or lust of the flesh. Find all these things in association with gambling facilities. Instead of partaking, we are to expose them, Ephesians 5 and verse 7. Don't be partakers with them in their evil deeds, but rather expose them. Yeah, by their fruits you shall know them. Well, people say, well, it's for good. Lottery and raffles, it's for good. Romans 3 and verse 8, Paul says, shall we do evil that good may come? God forbid. Even if you could say there are some good things that come from it, how much evil comes from it? Say, well, just a little. Okay, the amount of money or the value of the thing risked does not alter the biblical principles involved. And I understand it, just a little. You know, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to hell just because you bought a lottery ticket. I'm not going to tell you that. But I will tell you this, the principle behind it, why did you do it? Covetousness is the driving force behind it. It's not because you bought a lottery ticket, it's because you covet. It's because you have something that's driving you to do that. What is it? It's not the amount of money. It's the biblical principle. For one to consistently object to another's gambling, he must totally abstain. Establish the principles. And hold on to those principles. Why is it that just back in as soon as 1980, there were no casinos except Las Vegas and Atlantic City? And most states were very much opposed to it. You know, things change as time goes by. I understand that. In what direction have these things changed? Okay. Our society has drifted closer to God or further away from God over those last 40 years, 35 years. Which way is our society going? Which direction are we heading? Yes, it is socially acceptable these days to gamble. Just like it's socially acceptable to be a transvestite or homosexual. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right at all. It is a greed-driven, predatory vice scientifically designed to squeeze the maximum amount of money possible from every single patron. Yes, there are people who win. You know why? So that they can encourage you to give more. So that they can encourage you to keep playing. And they will encourage those who do lose to keep playing because there is hope out there that they will eventually someday win. It is by its very nature an enterprise wholly dependent on victims. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, 1999. Quote still says the same truth. The spread of legalized gambling is exacting colossal social and economic cost. Gambling expansion brings with it increased crime, divorce, and family disruption, and it creates a multitude of new addicts. Gambling also exploits the poor and youth. Legalized gambling is harmful public policy that should be vigorously opposed at all levels. The crime rates in casino communities are exponentially more than other communities. It's just facts. Proverbs 1 and verses 10 through 19, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. We say, well, you know, we're not murdering anybody. Okay? Metaphorically, John even said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And that's really what the proverb writer is using here, metaphorical language, to expose the sin of taking advantage of those who are less fortunate than you. Listen to it. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. Who are you destroying? Oh, yeah, you may hurt other people. You may destroy other people. But in actuality, you're also most definitely destroying yourself. It takes away the life of its owners. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in perdition, or in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Gambling. That's what Paul, or is that at least one of the things that Paul is talking about? Stay away from it. Tertullian said, the church fathers, if you say that you are a Christian when you are a dice player, you say what you are not, because you are a partner with the world. That was a long time ago that was said. And again, my friend, the truth doesn't change. Don't gamble with your soul. Don't gamble with your soul. Titus 2 and verse 11 and 12, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. God has revealed a way to save us and separate us from the world and bring joy and peace into our lives. The only way, though, that we can do that is to indeed deny ungodliness and worldly lust, turn away from those things, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. If you're here this morning and there's sin in your life, I implore you, turn away from that. Stop it. Listen to God's Word. Listen and follow the principles that are applied or that are taught in God's Word. Apply them to your life. And you'll find joy. You'll find peace. But you're not going to find it in worldliness, in ungodliness. You're just going to find destruction and perdition. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never come to Christ. You believe that He is the Son of God, but you've never actually come to Him. This morning, do that. Confess Him before men, repent of your sins, turn away from them, and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. Obey Him by being baptized in His name for the remission of your sins, and be raised to walk in newness of life, and then serve Him. Be faithful to Him. Be someone that He can shine and radiate His light through. And don't do things that will dim that light. Maybe, hopefully, the lesson's been beneficial to you. And if we can help you in any way, pray that you come. While together we stand, while we sing.